Hello, welcome back to Millennial 2018, and I'm now here with Cato. Actually, do you go by Cato from the channel Cato's Speech? Would that be correct?
Yes.
Right, okay. I wasn't sure what the thing there was. Okay, so welcome back, and you were on last year. And tell me about, introduce yourself briefly to the audience so that everyone knows who you are.
Yeah, I'm effectively an Austrian YouTuber. I started to make content about 4 years ago, mostly meme videos, and it has accelerated from there. Yeah, you can mostly find me on YouTube and Twitter, and that's effectively all that I do on the internet.
Yes, and does your channel get shut down quite regularly?
Yes, that tends to happen.
Right, how often does it happen?
I'm on the third channel right now.
Ah, okay, third. So okay, that's not too bad. I thought that it was, because I see different names like Cato the Second, Cato the Third, and Cato's Speech, and I wasn't sure, because I just subscribe to everything that I see, so I don't know.
Yeah. I changed my channel name from Cato the Third to the old channel name, Cato's Speech, about, I believe that was 3 months ago, where I was reasonably sure that I wouldn't get another strike anytime soon. We'll see how long that holds up.
What do you get strikes for?
Basically hate speech and the usual stuff.
I like how you just admit it. but of course it is increasingly, it is difficult to talk about the modern world without saying things that get you into trouble because the situation, but also on YouTube, I don't know if you want to talk about this. Lots of people have been talking about the censorship, you'll know. I don't know if you want to talk about that, but it is safe to say that the censorship on YouTube is increasing, and it happens randomly. You never know who's going to be next.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is an acro tyranny. That's the phrase that you can use for it. There are rules and they are not clear and nobody really knows what's going on. And you can basically do everything right and your channel can be gone or your accounts can be deleted just from one day to the next.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very frightening. Something that, I don't know if I made it clear, but I got a channel strike about 2 months ago. And really? I thought, in fact, less than that. I can't remember. I think it was just at the end of October. And so that was going to mean that I couldn't live stream until the end of January, which would, that meant I couldn't do Millennial. So, but five channels got it in the same day, on the same day.
I believe I saw a video there. Was it James Alsop and some others?
No, he got banned from Patreon on the same day as Sargon did. The five channels were me, Black Pigeon Speaks, Red Ice, Matt Forney, and The Killstream. And so it was obviously, it has to be coordinated. But the weird thing is, everyone appealed. I appealed, and I was the only one whose appeal was successful. And that's the only reason we're able to do Millennial. I don't understand.
That's really strange.
Yeah, it's really strange. Like Red Ice can't live stream until the end of January. It's so awful because do you do live? I don't think you do live streams, do you?
No, never.
Right. Okay. Well, it's a different thing. It's a very different thing. This is different from what you do on your own, like your typical videos that you make.
I just have to say it that way. I thought about doing them, but I basically always have at least one strike on my channel, so...
Oh, okay.
Doesn't really make much sense.
Right, okay. It's a different thing entirely, and some people really take to live streaming, and other people, they just don't have much use for it. I started doing these AMA sessions, and I took to it. I quite enjoyed it. And other people, it's all that they do on YouTube, and some people live from live streaming, the super chats and so on, and that's literally how they pay their rent. I just think it's wrong that YouTube are able to, I think it's morally wrong that they're able to take away people's livelihoods for 3 months. For God's sake, that's just outrageous. But anyway,
yeah, is it surprising?
No, it's not surprising. It's not surprising at all. I'm not surprised. I just think that it's something that should be fixed, and I think that we should remain angry about it and do whatever we can. But of course, it's going to be a long road. I understand that in a way that you should sort of stay calm about it, because getting angry doesn't really do anything. That's I'm just moaning about censorship as usual. To tell people about your the sort of topics that you are interested in on your channel, so that they know what they could expect if they go to it.
Yeah, I usually talk about, I would say, a little bit outlandish topics, things that are going on more in our own community. I don't really cover daily politics that much, simply because I find it exhausting. And most of my content are effectively music and meme videos, although I effectively deleted all of my old meme videos because they got me the most strikes.
Sorry, I was muted there. So are you trying to play it more safe now on YouTube? Do you want to sort of do things that are not, well, going to get your channels? Obviously, you don't want channel strikes. What I mean is, are you prepared to play it more safe, or is that cucking out, in your opinion?
Oh, I've basically dialed it down a lot since I started. If you compare the basic content that I had 3 years ago to what I do now, it's very safe and cozy.
Yeah, I have to say, I think I'm probably the same. I mean, there are things that I said in 2015 that I just wouldn't say now.
Yeah, understandable. The environment has changed so much. Every little thing can be used against you, and especially if you have a bigger channel like you do. Yeah, that's an issue.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, the censorship thing is so tempting, but I think I've said basically everything that I've got to say about it, unless you want to talk about it, but I don't think you do. You want to talk about Austrian politics. So please go ahead with that, because obviously people hear about German politics. You know, everyone's heard of Angela Merkel and how insane it all is there. But Austria, which is in people, and I sort of link the two, because Austria and Germany are linked in my mind, and I think they're linked in a lot of people's minds. But Austria is this other thing. It's not Germany, but it's connected to it. But it is obviously different, and it's different politically. It's different culturally. You go ahead.
Yeah, you summarized it very well. It's just a very different place to what the current German state is, and you especially see that in politics. If you contrast the government of Angela Merkel with what we currently have with Sebastian Kurz as our chancellor, it's worlds apart.
Well, Angela Merkel, yeah, I was going to say it's more right-wing in Austria. The culture in general is more right-wing than in Germany. Is that correct?
Yes, that's true.
And Angela Merkel, has her replacement has been chosen, but nobody seems to know anything about the replacement, the new woman. It's another woman. And she does have kids, actually.
Yeah, but she's just one of those CDU, CSU party soldiers. You can basically lash them all together. All of her replacements were, they are effectively the same people. It doesn't really matter who is chosen. It is basically just changing the figurehead and continuing the same stuff. That's what we can expect. Mm.
It's the CDU. Do you think that that's a party that has much of a future, or do you think it's sort of stagnant and it's just going to die off eventually?
I'm very sure that it is going to die off in the next 10 to 20 years. It is simply too much on the left. I mean, you have to understand where this party comes from. They were very right-wing in the beginning. For example, they still claimed the Eastern Territories lost to Poland and still had a lot of issues up there that would be straight-out Nazi rhetoric today.
Bloody hell, I didn't know that. I didn't know that. I knew that they were conservative, and it's the Christian... She was to tell people what it means, the Christian Democratic Union, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes. And I know that it's sort of... right wing. Nowadays, it is thought of as a sort of centre-right party, in the same way that the Conservative Party in Britain is thought of as centre-right, but actually it's left. I mean, they were the ones who brought in gay marriage, for example.
Yeah, same in Germany.
Well, they were the ones who brought in the migrant crisis.
The amount of crimes that they have committed until now, yeah, you can talk a long time for that one.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But of course, well, you see, one thing I heard was that Merkel sort of opened the gates without consulting the party or the government. It was just something that was announced. This was going to happen. And even the Bavarian leader of the CDU didn't even know until he learned with everyone else that this was going to happen.
Yeah, Bavaria is a little bit of a strange case, but effectively, when you take German law, Merkel and her government have committed high treason. They have effectively done things that are so strictly against the law that they should immediately be out of power and in front of a court. But of course, that's not going to happen. And even if the leader of the Bavarian branch of the Conservatives, the CSU, would have known, they wouldn't have changed anything. I mean, I don't know how much you know about Bavarian politics, but Horst Seehofer and his party, they are basically conservatives out of the book.
Did you say Austrian politics?
No, Bavarian.
But Bavarian politics. Well, yeah, sorry, I was distracted momentarily there. I apologize. I don't know much about Bavarian politics. All I know I actually did walk in on a demonstration of I forgot what was going on at the time. It must have been in the run up to the elections in Germany, in Nuremberg.
Oh,
yeah, because I was there for a while, and I did see a political thing going on. All these different parties had their stalls out and were trying to attract people, and there was I think it was the CDU had people on a stage talking, and the crowd were asking questions and stuff. But of course, I didn't understand what was going on. I didn't follow it because I don't speak German. But yeah, it always just seemed so dead. You know, the German politics and the politicians and the way that the way that the German public sort of interact. It all seems like it's just a charade at this point. It's like a joke. Well, it's an unfunny joke. Nobody really cares. Everybody's waiting for something to replace it all. That's the feeling that I got.
Yeah, that brings it on point. I mean, that's effectively the feeling that a lot of people have, and especially the Germans that I usually talk to. They just feel the same. They just want this whole thing to crumble down and be replaced.
It's so strange because you can actually just see it in their body. I don't speak German, so I didn't hear anything that was said. But it's just in the body language of people, you can see just a total lack of interest. They sort of know that this is silly. This is farcical. It doesn't mean anything. I'm here listening to this politician, but I don't believe a word he says. I don't trust him. He doesn't like us. He doesn't trust us. It's all just a farce. And there's nothing here. We just have to wait for it all to end somehow.
Yeah, I would say that the system has effectively died in its spirit and ideology. That it is effectively a corpse that is just shoved in front of people. Hey, that's your government. That's the system in place.
Yeah.
Just go along with it.
Yeah. And all of these politicians are just interchangeable with each other. It doesn't really matter. As you said earlier, it doesn't matter who is in charge of the CDU. It's still going to behave in the same way.
Exactly. And
well, then there's the AfD. I mean, what are you optimistic about then? Do you like the AfD?
I like them somewhat, but I'm not exactly optimistic about them. I share the view with a lot of my German colleagues. They basically just vote for them because it weakens the current other parties, but they're just not reliable. And they are unable to go far enough, at least in the current state of Germany.
Do you feel that it's that they're sort of hampered by? So, I mean, what would need to change in order for the AfD to? Do you think they'll get into office?
Oh, I think they will. In about, it's hard to tell. Might be in 2 or 3 years, might be in 10 years. It's really hard to say, but I'm pretty sure that they will eventually turn up in office.
It seems like they've developed, they've grown so quickly that it seems like they are kind of like the Front National in France, actually. Their rise has been so fast that they are going to reach the point pretty soon where they simply win the election.
Yeah, but I would say that the AfD has not grown so fast because they are that good or because they are really that efficient. I mean, there are very many good people in there, but a lot of bad ones as well. And I would just say it is the circumstances in Germany that made them grow so quickly.
Yeah, it's like they're better than any of the mainstream options.
Yeah, they are effectively, as I would term it, liberal conservatives that just have basic ideas that would be normal conservatism in every sense of the word. And that is just something that appeals more than, yeah, the pseudo-conservatives that are currently in charge.
Well, exactly. I mean, the ideology of those in charge, and this covers basically every country, every party, is they're either progressives or they're mindless conservatives who just do what the progressives want, just in a more slow way. That seems to be the situation we have now.
Yeah, there isn't really much of a difference. And we had effectively the same situation in Austria just a few years back. The big two coalition parties, in our case, also conservatives and the Social Democrats. And yeah, they effectively dominated the entire political scene. And it just bred this atmosphere of incompetence, corruption, and yeah, complete stagnation.
It's terrible, isn't it? So, I mean, how would you then compare? I mean, like, tell me about, if we're going to Austria, tell me about Sebastian Kurz.
Yeah, he is your run-of-the-mill opportunist. I personally think that he has shifted to the right from his previous positions. He was our foreign minister for quite some time. And before that, he was in charge of some immigration issues. So I'm pretty sure that rep pilled him, at least to some extent.
That's just maybe he started reading 4chan and so on as a result of being the immigration minister.
Sebastian Kurz, reading poll confirmed. Okay.
Sorry, go on.
There we go. No, but there were really those two things that changed everything for Austrian politics. First of the migrant crisis and then the presidential election in 2016. That was just this moment where both of the main political parties were unable to, well, come above 10% with their candidates. And yet the candidate of the Freedom Party coming up to, I believe it was 35%. So he was the leading candidate for the presidential election, and that really shifted everything.
Right. And what has been the result of them getting into power over the last couple of years? I mean, when did it happen? Was it about 2 years ago now?
No, exactly a year ago.
Oh, right. It's more recent than I thought. Because, of course, there was that awful thing with the lefty president.
I've forgotten. Van der Bellen, yes.
That's it. That's
Alexander Van der Bellen, that's the name.
Yeah, and that seemed to be a result. It came from voter corruption in Vienna, if I recall correctly.
We had to do the vote 3 times. The first time around was the first round only. That was where Hofer was the highest ranking candidate. He did the best from all of them. And in the second one, there was a little bit of an issue with voter fraud. I believe it was the letter votes that had some complications. And of course, they were strange.
Postal voting.
Of course, they were strangely enough in favor of Van der Bellen. Nobody knew why. And then there was this strange little incident where they had an issue with the glue used for the envelopes. So they had to postpone the second vote for the repetition. And of course, all of that during an enormous media barrage. Norbert Hofer is the next Hitler. All of the people who vote for him are effectively Nazis, the usual bunch. And yeah, Van der Bellen only managed to win with, I believe it was about 4%. And it is really an achievement for Hof and the Freedom Party in that case, because they had the entire establishment, all of the major parties, the entire mainstream media, everything racked against them, and they were still able to get about half the votes of the entire election.
And it was impressive, and I remember people were very hopeful. I mean, the assumption was that he was going to win that election, and because he did seem to be a lot better, especially because his opposition, the rival, was this bland lefty who seemed he didn't seem to have much charisma, and he didn't seem to be very on the ball. He seemed to be sort of slow and stupid, quite frankly, Van der Bellen. Seeing him talking and thinking, this guy, how is this guy going to be the president of a country?
That doesn't really matter much. As long as the media rolls the drums for you and tells everybody how awesome the guy is, you will find enough idiots to vote for him. And
he was very pro-refugee, wasn't he?
Oh, yes. I mean, he was the leader of the Green Party, the former one. So that tells you everything you need to know in that case.
Yeah, yeah. But so yeah, what was it you wanted to say? Sorry, I interrupted.
No, just that we get along. That really shifted the entire balance in Austrian politics, because the conservatives understood that they would effectively, they would get eroded away by the Freedom Party and more right-leaning ideas. And this was really where the entire party was completely remodeled. You had Sebastian Kurz taking charge, and
So just to make this clear, this was the Freedom Party was a new party, is that correct?
No, the Freedom Party is actually around for quite some time. But the current form of the party is around for, I would say, 10 years. The current leader, Heinz Christian Strache, basically had to build it up again after the 2000s. There was a very miserable time then. But that's a completely different story.
As they are now, they're it's a new thing relatively, and they sort of frightened the mainstream Conservative Party into becoming more right wing, more conservative. Is that correct?
Yes.
Right.
That's
okay. Okay. So tell what you were going to say about Sebastian Kurz and this new era.
Yeah, he basically silenced, or at least eliminated, the more regional power sources and streamlined the party so that he was able to really make decisions. And this completely changed the People's Party. The Conservatives, they were in a sense the same old party, but unrecognizable. So you effectively had two right-leaning populist parties now in Austria, with the Freedom Party more to the right, of course.
Well, this is what people hoped would happen with UKIP and the Conservatives in Britain. But it didn't happen. It didn't happen at all. People thought, well, if UKIP are going to be this more right wing than the Conservatives, and they are successful, if they steal voters from the Conservatives, then the Conservatives will become more conservative in order to get those voters back. But of course, it never happens. It's just like the Republicans in America. No, they're not going to become more pro white, more nationalistic, more right wing in order to get back those right wingers. They just continue cucking. That's what happens most of the time. But in this case, it seems that did not happen. The Conservatives did actually take the hint and try to get those voters back.
Yes, I believe in most cases, I mean, at least in the case of the UK and America, it is basically due to the cause that you have people in charge that are, they are bankers, they are more interested in economics and are not really that much politically motivated. There's no real ideology back there.
Yeah, that's true. They're pragmatists and globalists, so they're not going to be. They're not conservative in any real sense of the word.
Oh yes, and I mean, in the case of Sebastian Kurz, it is really astonishing, because I always describe him as an opportunist, a pragmatist, as someone who effectively just said, "Okay, this doesn't work. Let's change this around. Let's try something that will definitely go well with the population." And that's exactly what he did. And at least in foreign media, I remember there was a really horrible article in Newsweek, and I believe one in Times as well. And they were effectively painting him as the door opener for the far right, for exactly for effectively fascism and neo-Nazism bursting into mainstream politics again. Which is a complete joke.
Yeah, is that a sort of media hysteria, do you see?
Yes, completely.
They do this all the time, don't they?
It seems to be the same game plan every time around, and it's always a hint of truth in there that things shift to the right in this particular case. But there is just nothing even close to the shift that they want to make people believe in. It is definitely a more, I would say, right-wing atmosphere in Austria right now. You just have some tendencies and, well, just everyday interactions and arguments that would have not been possible just 4 or 5 years ago.
Do you think the migrant crisis has changed culture in Austria? I don't mean that it's become more North African or Arab. I mean, has it changed how native Austrians are politically, culturally?
Yes. Yes, very much. It has become very hard for the open border pro-refugees crowd to do their usual thing because people are now completely confronted with that. If you take the whole European Union, as far as I have the statistics in mind, Austria is one of the countries with the most refugees taken in. And yeah, that of course reflects in the crime rates and all the other problems that come with it. So if you are some sort of lefty and you spout the whole open borders nonsense, you are bound to have somebody come into your face and tell you what's really going on. So things have changed drastically in that case.
So what about, the most pro or the most stereotypically pro-refugee people, the section of the population, is those idiotic young women who, with the refugees welcome here, say placards and that. Does that kind of thing happen in Austria, or would they be, insulted?
It has died out. It doesn't happen anymore. There are some people that still propagandize, but it is very much through the media or social networks. In daily life, you don't really see that much.
I interrupted. That was rude of me. Go on.
I just remembered one case where I met with a friend of mine whose sister was raped by one of those wonderful people. And he, of course, said, why he voted for the Freedom Party and that he wants this, this entire insanity to end. And there was some stupid brain dead sociology student on the next table listening in. And she, of course, felt morally compelled to tell him what was going on. Now, you can guess where this went.
Yeah.
He, of course, told the little story with his sister and some other things because he's working class. So he has to deal with that nonsense every single day. And yeah, it was a complete brain overload for the poor student. I mean, brain dead leftist, she didn't even know what to reply. This was so beyond the normal world, this bubble that she was living in was just a shock experience. And that is why the public attitude to just really propagandize for something like this, it has really, really died down. It doesn't really exist anymore.
I wonder, before we get into that general thing, I'd love to know what that sociologist girl is now thinking. And I wonder what she said at the time, that evening. Did she just forget about it immediately because it was too inconvenient? Or did it, make her change her politics? I wonder.
It actually changed her politics. I met her recently in a shop.
And tell me, what were the politics now?
she's
reading Paul as well.
I don't even want to joke, but yes, it seems that she does.
God.
I mean, it was a really personal thing, because especially as a girl, as a woman, when you when you hear a story of rape and the experience that comes with it, because he really laid it all open. This was very into her face, very direct. And if you hear that as a girl, it gets you thinking. And I guess that's what happens. This really broke through to her.
Yeah, I see. This was what I always wondered. 'Cause all these awful rapes in Germany and Austria and Sweden, I always wonder how long is it going to be before these young women hear about this stuff and make the connection in their heads and realize this is never going to stop. You know, that we're not, it's not happening because we are being racist towards them. It's not happening because we're not doing enough for them. It's just a simple group conflict. This is what they're like, and it's never going to stop. I wonder how many of them realize that. And I always think, how obvious does it need to be?
Yeah, I would really say that it always needs to be something personal for people. It really does. Like I said before, it is always that they tend to live in those media bubbles where all those stories and all the obvious things that are so blindingly obvious to us, they are just lies of right-wingers, they are just evil propaganda. But as soon as there is something in their lives that they can actually connect to, that they can actually understand, that changes a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. You see, it's strange because people tend to think that they're objective and rational and reason, and that's how lefties always present themselves. But actually, they're not. You know, as soon as it's something personal, well, then their opinion changes. It's interesting because it contradicts how they see themselves. They would say, though, I'm not swayed by personal anecdotes or personal experiences. I look at the facts, the statistics, and so on. But yeah. Actually, they are swayed by emotional things because they're human beings. And, it's, of course, especially the female ones.
Yeah, very true. And I guess that goes for the whole society. If you would have told me about 10 years ago that we would have this complete political turnaround in Austria, that we would effectively have the most right-wing government that Austria ever had since the Second Republic exists, which is what the current government is, I wouldn't have believed it. I would have laughed.
Well, I mean, that's great. I hope that it continues. You see, one thing that I think is that and I said this in one of the previous millennials, I just think that nobody really believes in the diversity thing anymore. I think it's, and this isn't just in Austria. I think that everywhere that I go, I don't see people. Well, there's a sense that everyone knows it's a load of rubbish. It's all just a fucking load of lies and delusion.
Yeah,
and
it's actually
the sort of ideologues who still preach it. But I think even they, like the SJWs, I wonder, do they even really believe this in the way that they believed it 2-3 years ago? I don't think so.
No, I really wouldn't say so. And there's an interesting case that we recently had where, an Austrian teacher, she's more on the political left, actually. I would say pretty close to the Social Democrats, actually, in her personal beliefs. She brought out a book about parallel societies and problems in schools, especially with, Muslims and Turks. And it was effectively taken like, I don't know, do you know Tilo Sarrazin?
Yes, I do know about him. He's a left-wing German academic who, is he German or Austrian?
No, he's German.
German, who got in trouble because he discovered racial IQ differences. Is that correct?
Yes, that, and he criticized the euro, and,
Well, that's even worse, isn't it?
Oh, yes. He has done a lot of wrong thinking recently. And, we effectively had the female counterpart to him in recent times. Just a teacher, laying it all out in a book. And this was, it sold really well, as far as I can tell. And there seems to be a complete shift in understanding, and nobody, at least nobody that I personally know or have any contact to, believes in the whole nonsense anymore. I've seen people that were completely pro-refugees, pro-third world, all the usual rubbish. The people that you would normally associate with Greenpeace and other organizations in the 90s. And they have shifted to, what is effectively closed borders populism. simply out of the experiences that they've made or the things that they've seen so far.
Yeah, it sounds like it's a good time to be Austrian.
Oh, it is. It is. Definitely. I mean, well, the government is not as, well, as hardcore as I would like them to be, but they have actually surprised me. When they had their coalition talks and built the government, I effectively told everybody, that's a good development, it's nice, but don't expect too much. And up until this point, they have really surprised me in a positive sense.
So do you have a sense that Germany is going to fall apart, but Austria is going to be okay?
Germany falling apart? I'm not even sure about that. There might be a turnaround. It's really difficult to say. You really could have a complete shift, at least in certain areas. But I am very positive that Austria is going to be all right in the future, at least to a much better extent than compared to Germany.
I just wonder if part of the reason for people in Austria to go right is to there might be a sense that we have to do this because Germany is going to go, it is going to fall apart, so we have to protect ourselves. I wonder if that's part of it.
Oh yeah, that's definitely part of it. I believe it was, yeah, it was last millennial where I talked with you about this little hostility between Austrians and Germans. And there's still some of that sense around. There's just this cultural difference. It has a lot to do with the German Empire and the Habsburg Empire. It's very deeply seated in history. And there's still this thinking of the Germans as, well, a competitor, somebody that you look up to, but that you not like all that much. And yeah, I guess that really plays a role there. It's just, oh yeah, those Piefke, those Germans, they are just stupid. Let's show them how it's done.
Yeah, it does sound like the relationship between the Scots and the English, except that in this case, the smaller one is more right-wing.
Oh yes, oh yes.
Yeah, oh. And could actually do what they're saying. Whereas I think that let's not get into the Scottish thing.
I just wanted to say my condolences for Scotland. It's the last things I've read about it, that it's horrible. Just let's move on.
It's just so depressing. Yeah, let's go away. Yeah. So, would you like to say any other things about Austria? Because just to tell people about the situation there, like, just now compared to last year.
Yeah, I would say that there is slowly a shift in daily politics when it comes to especially deportation and to the needs of the police and the military. We finally have a government that has realized that things need to be done. And of course, they all have to do it in the limitations that you have within the EU and human rights and all the rest of it. But just the amount of deportations of criminal foreigners has gone up sky high, and it's a very good development.
Kebab is being removed.
To an extent, yes. There has even been the case where double citizenships, which are illegal in Austria, had been looked into, and well, turns out that a ton of Turks have to fear about being deported as foreigners, which might even, if the government dares to do so, come down to their children.
What do you mean exactly? You think the Turks are gone?
Yeah, there's a situation with double citizenships, with a lot of people that still have the Turkish citizenship, besides the Austrian one, which is illegal. And
yeah, I wondered, because in Germany and in the Netherlands, it's legal for them to retain their Turkish citizenship and vote in the Turkish referendums and elections.
Exactly. I mean, right. They can, as far as I know, also do it if they were Austrian citizens but of Turkish descent. That's at least as far as I understand it. But it is an interesting situation, and that's really something worth looking on, how it develops.
Mm. So I didn't realize that you would be so optimistic It's nice to hear you sort of being more positive about Austria and the future. Is this really, sounds like a lot has changed since this time last year.
It's important to understand that there's this enormous shift in the main population. Just, you can have conversations now that are so far beyond everything that was imaginable just a few years back with everyday people. And it really is a completely different situation compared to last year. Or 2 years back, it really is a different country.
See, something's just occurred to me. If with that sociology girl, if people like her are getting red pilled, then that means that creates new opportunities for red pilling more people, because that, you know, they obviously communicate in a way that's different from how some right wing male politician or academic will communicate. You know, a female left wing sociologist is going to be quite different in mentality and nature from the usual person who is anti immigration.
Oh yes, very true. I mean, I personally come out of a very leftist environment before I had my shift to the right, and it makes a huge difference because you know what you're talking about, you know the other side, and you have a different way of connecting to people when it comes to those issues.
Mm. That's interesting. I suspect that a similar thing is going to start happening in Britain and America in the next few years. I think that the left, I think it's occurring to people on the left that they have been encouraging identity politics in everyone else, and all the non-whites. And so suddenly it's dawning on them, well, hold on a minute, what about my own group? They're not all powerful, so I can't just ignore them. I can't just leave them to the winds of fate. If I've empowered all these other groups to believe in their identity and so on, then, well, my own group also has an identity and is also vulnerable, so it needs identity politics as well. I think that's the change that's going to start happening. I think left-wingers are going to start realizing, but this actually isn't fair on white people.
Yeah, that is very realistic. I at least see it as likely that it is going to happen with a lot of people. It's basically something that I've seen with a lot of people in my circle of friends that were, well, more on the political left. And they just realized, just from the rhetoric and a lot of other issues, that things were completely dialed against native Austrians. There was just this awakening of self, I would say, where they just started to understand that they were a group indeed, that there was not this global mush of humanity, and that they actually had a purpose within that group, with their identity, that there was actually something worth living and celebrating, and that, yeah, this is nothing to be ashamed of.
Well, I mean, if you've got a group of people, whites, and you are telling them to feel guilty for their past, then eventually it's going to dawn on you, well, that means they do exist as a group. It's not just some global mush. This group does exist. Otherwise, I can't be vilifying them the way I do. And then it's going to occur to you, but no group is wholly bad. Therefore, maybe my group aren't just a bunch of villains after all.
Strange where that line of thought goes, right?
Yeah. Exactly. And let's leave it at that, because I think that's a really good place to end.
Oh, yes.
So that's been great. Thank you very much. I've enjoyed this conversation, and it's nice to hear that things are getting better in Austria. And I did visit Austria in November last year, and I had a love. It was Vienna, which I know is not typical of Austria, but nonetheless, it was a lovely visit, and we had a great time. And that's the only time I've been in Austria, but I do have a soft spot for it.
If you ever come back, we'll go mountain climbing, and I take you to the range and stuff like that, so you will see a little bit else than just Vienna. There's a lot more to the country.
Thank you very much. That's a nice offer, and hopefully we do that one day. Okay, so thank you very much, Cato, for appearing on Millennial.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, and everyone else, I'll see you in about an hour with, I believe it's Wife with a Purpose. Yes, it is. It's Wife with a Purpose in 1 hour from now. So see you then.